broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I believe that a public option will be essential to our passing a bill.
To begin to drill more. To drill offshore, to drill here, to drill there.
You never would have guessed he would be attempting to hijack the plane.
Well, this guy's a Yale-educated lawyer. He's a best-selling author about his specialty. I think he was brought down. I think
Johnny
it's
Diablo.
Too
just
bad. Washington's a tough place that way.
Okay, all right. I get it. All right, I get it. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. That's what you're going to get here for the next 3 hours. This is a world-famous show that is a news, talk, and entertainment program where truth is our bitch, but we know what we're talking about. When the stars come out, the bullcrap goes away, you know. And we just heard the President of the United States talking about health care. And did it clear anything up for anybody? Well, I guess we'll find out tonight, but I suspect that the people who went into listening to that speech who thought that Obama was the second coming of Karl Marx, they ain't going away with any different opinion. They didn't want to go away with any different opinion. And I suspect that people who went into that speech honestly wanting to get some answers, they might have gotten a broad brush, I believe they got a very broad brush sketch of what the president and the proponents of this health care plan like. And then it is up to us as citizens of this country to go and find out more about this proposal. There are people who don't know why we're having this conversation. You can divide the American people into a lot of different categories. You can divide them into Republican and Democrat. But as you know, if you listen to this show, that is absolutely meaningless. There couldn't be anything more meaningless. There couldn't be anything more devoid of sense than dividing the country into who's a Republican and who's a Democrat and where do they stand on this. There couldn't be anything more devoid of any connection to the real world than asking, are you a conservative or are you a liberal? Oh, well, and what do you think of this and that? That presupposes, ladies and gentlemen, that conservatives and liberals know why they're conservatives and liberals. That presumes that Democrats and Republicans understand why they're Democrats and Republicans. And I hate to break the news, and this is going to come perhaps as a shock, but I put the number at around 80%, maybe even 85% of all the people in America that call themselves conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat, around 85% of those people have no clue what that means, no clue why they are the way they are, and no real clue as to whither goest thou, man, in the American night? There, I just quoted Allen Ginsberg from Howl. Great, that makes me very literate. Thank God I got out of that.
Yeah, it looked like you were stuck for a minute.
No, I'm good. You know what I mean? Well, that's just because you don't like Republicans and Democrats, Phil. You're right, I don't, and I have good reason not to like them. I hate them. I hate their living guts, which I guess means I hate just about everybody listening to the show right now. So that can't be the case. I just don't like what they represent. They represent what everything that has slowed this country down and just about destroyed the forward momentum of this country over the last many years. And we can't afford their games anymore. Obama did say one thing today. He said the game playing is over. And I suspect what he was trying to get at was this partisanship is fine. It may make for a nice column in the Hill or the Capitol Hill or whatever, ass wipe these people read in the morning. But when we're talking about trying to get something done here, all right, let's put all that stuff aside and let's get it done. So asking somebody if they're a Republican or a Democrat and then getting their... What you first have to find out, folks, is not whether somebody's a Republican or Democrat. You have to divide the American people into the following categories. Number one, how many people out there are completely befuddled as to why we're even having this discussion about health care? I'm not asking you guys. I'm asking the pollsters. I'm asking the people to take the surveys. That's the question you have. That's who you have to determine. How many people are completely befuddled as to why we're having this discussion? I don't know. You may find in that group of people anybody from Paris Hilton to Ed Asner to I don't know, Michelle Obama. I don't know. You know, it could be anybody. It could span the globe, man, as they used to say on ABC's Wide World of Sports. You know, spanning the globe, looking for this and that. We're spanning the globe, trying to figure out if anybody understands why there's even a conversation about healthcare. You see, Some people are saying, oh, don't be so simple-minded, Phil. People aren't that stupid. It's not a matter of stupidity. It's a matter of being aware of what's going on outside of your own life. That's what being a citizen is, see? So how many of those people have we got? All right. Then you got to figure out how many people just hate Obama or hate liberals or hate Democrats or hate everything that looks liberal or sounds Democrat, or maybe they just don't like him because he's a black guy. I don't know. You got to get those people counted. How many people, no matter what sense you make, no matter how well you pitch the idea, no matter how logical, no matter how intelligent, no matter how well documented, no matter how well footnoted, they just aren't going to like it because they don't like Obama. Now you got to figure out who those people are. How many of them are there? You see how this is different, isn't it? It's different from who's a Republican and who's a Democrat and who's Hispanic and who's black. I mean, I'm all in favor of demographic studies, but I'm laying some new demographics on you. Then you got to figure out how many people are really curious about getting the facts and want to hear both sides and want to make up their minds, and they want to make up their minds in the best possible way. How many of those people are there? A lot of people right now are saying, well, it can't be that many because, I mean, look at it. Well, you never know. I mean, Nixon used to talk about the great silent majority. People made fun of him, but I think at least before they found him busting into the Watergate, I think Nixon was right. There was kind of this really quiet group of people sitting out in America who were, I mean, the guy did get elected president in a landslide in 1972 when the disgust with the Vietnam War was approaching its apex. So then you got to find those people. Those people are really, really honestly curious. And then you have to find the people who have made up their minds based upon that information. Some, having heard the information and the intelligent debate and have scrutinized it and have looked in their hearts and have decided they don't like the plan, and some have looked at this and they've scrutinized it and they've looked into their hearts and they've looked into their pocketbook and they do like the plan, all right? So that's one, two, three, four, there's five groups of people in America when it comes to the health care plan. The people that are clueless, the extremist demagogues, the people who are clueless but will not remain clueless, they're interested, they want to get educated, and then the people who have been educated, and they, of course, differ. And you have to decide which group of people you're in, because listening to me tonight, there is somebody from one of those groups. Each one of those groups listening to the show tonight. Now, I would respectfully submit this to you. If you are a person who just hates Obama, I don't know if there's any help for you. I mean, your life, you're probably going to die from Alzheimer's because the evidence indicates that people who have very rigid minds, inflexible minds, they tend to be susceptible to Alzheimer's disease.
Are you putting me on?
I swear. That's what I heard.
No, what do you mean inflexible?
If they just are rigid, closed-minded people, they tend to get Alzheimer's. I don't know. Maybe it's my dad was like that. He got Alzheimer's, so.
That's weird, man. You'd have to show me some data, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, data. Yeah, thanks.
Not the guy on Star Trek.
No, not the guy on Star Trek. Data, yeah. If you're clueless and you don't even know why we're having this debate, it's too late. You're done. I mean, you can get up to speed. You can educate yourself in about 100 years of, well, actually 200 plus years of American history. And the entire battle, both public and private, over why the public sector or the public in general should support people when it comes to health care. I mean, this is a raging debate that is decades old and spans the globe. Yeah, this is the catch-up you got to do if you don't even understand why America's having this debate right now. But you got to do that. If you're curious and you want the facts, there was a very good start tonight with the president's speech. Why did I say that? Because it wasn't a town hall meeting where people were screaming and yelling. There was one jackass who said, "You lie." Somebody should have kicked his face in until he died. That guy that yelled out, "You lie," someone should have taken a crowbar to him. Now, my understanding is he's apologized. That's great. No class. No class. No decorum. No sense of history. No sense of tradition. No sense of where you are. Representative Joe Wilson of South Carolina embarrassed the state of South Carolina. All right, so, you have to take into consideration all of these different groups of people. And then there are those of you who have made up your minds, and I don't know who you are. I've made my mind up. I support it.
Am I in that group of people that did take a look at the issues and did study it the best way I knew how and came to a conclusion based upon how much I feel this country needs, what we're going to need for the next 100 years, where we have been, how long this debate has been going on? And plus, I'm rallied by Obama because he said, I'm going to take care of this come hell or high water. We've been talking and talking and blah, 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 since Teddy Roosevelt. And I'm telling you, this is it, baby. You want the buck to stop someplace? It's stopping right here, man. I'm going to do it or I'm going to die trying. That's basically what Obama said. I'm doing it or I'll go out after one term and I don't give a crap. He's already said, if it's a one-term presidency, it's a one-term presidency. Whatever. But this is Obama's, this is the flagship, man. This is his issue. And every president has one. This is the one for Obama. What was Jimmy Carter's? Anybody want to know what Jimmy Carter's issue was? What did he want to do? What did Jimmy Carter really want to do? He wanted to restore confidence in the American government. He wanted the American people to have confidence in the American way of life, in the American system, confidence in governance, confidence in leaders. We had just come through Watergate. What did Jimmy Carter want to do? He wanted to have confidence, man. He wanted people to believe again in their leaders. He wanted to be a moral guy. He wanted to be an honest guy. He wanted to tell people exactly what was going on. And he, to some extent, did. To some extent, he did. But it cost him his job. Because once people began to realize that leaders did matter and that they could tell the truth, and when they did tell the truth and we were informed by that truth, there was a real good two-way street of information and coexistence and cooperation. And then we realized Jimmy Carter ain't the president we want. We want a different guy. And we got one, Ronald Reagan, 8 years of him. But even Jimmy Carter was able to, I think, smooth over all those troubled waters of Watergate, get people back to a place where they were reinvigorated by the system, and they went back out and kicked his ass out of the White House, basically, because they said, you know, thank you very much, Jimmy. We really like you being president and everything. You really restored my confidence, but I don't dig grits, and I don't dig beer, and I don't dig you. Goodbye. Thank you. All right.
So that's what I thought, too. You didn't even think about it, man.
No, I don't think you thought about it either. All right, we're going to be coming back here. We'll analyze the Obama speech when we come back. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. If you got a comment, you can make one. But we're going to get into the speech. We're going to get into some clips. We'll get into this Joe Wilson jackass. We'll get into, it's healthcare, man. It's what it's all about, baby. This is Baghdad, baby. This is what it's all about. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876. Phil's the number here. We're talking on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on live streaming video tonight at philhendryshow.com, on live streaming audio at philhendryshow.com. On affiliates all over the country, very happy to have Salt Lake City and Charlotte in the pack, in the network, in the family. We are excited about being on the air in those towns. If it sounds like my voice is doing a little bit of a dance, I got a little teeny bit of this cold. It's not the swine flu, but even if it was swine flu, it wouldn't keep me off the air. No, not swine flu, not bubonic plague. Nothing is going to keep me from my appointed rounds doing whatever the hell it is I'm doing here. All right, I know what I'm doing, I think. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL, Obama to Congress, time for bickering is over. So we gave you a little warm-up there in the preamble. I told you about the attitudes of the American people. I think where people fall down when it comes to, if you pardon the expression, fall down, which, by the way, would that cover them?
Yeah, at least she fell and she can't get up. I wonder if that's covered.
Yeah, I'm sure it is covered, man. Shaking off a summer of setbacks, President Obama summoned Congress to enact sweeping health care legislation tonight, declaring the time for bickering is over and the moment has arrived to protect millions who have unreliable insurance or have no coverage at all. Let's listen to President Barack Obama now as he speaks this evening. He decries the lies about health care and tells Congress that now is the time to move on with the health care debate.
Instead of honest debate, we've seen scare tactics. Some have dug into unyielding ideological camps that offer no hope of compromise. Too many have used this as an opportunity to score short-term political points, even if it robs the country of our opportunity to solve a long-term challenge. And out of this blizzard of charges and countercharges, confusion has reigned. Well, the time for bickering is over. The time for games has passed. Now is the season for action. Now is when we must bring the best ideas of both parties together and show the American people that we can still do what we were sent here to do. Now is the time to deliver on health care.
Now here is Obama taking on this death panel myth.
Some of people's concerns have grown out of bogus claims spread by those whose only agenda is to kill reform at any cost. The best example is the claim made not just by radio and cable talk show hosts, but by prominent politicians, that we plan to set up panels of bureaucrats with the power to kill off senior citizens. Now, such a charge would be laughable if it weren't so cynical and irresponsible. It is a lie, plain and simple.
Now, here's Obama as he's speaking. He's called a liar by Representative Joe Wilson, as a Republican from South Carolina. Real class there, Joe, while addressing other myths about the health care bill.
There are also those who claim that our reform efforts would ensure illegal immigrants. This, too, is false. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegal.
What a douchebag. What a douchebag. Here is Obama explaining how his health care plan affects those already with insurance.
If you are among the hundreds of millions of Americans who already have health insurance through your job, or Medicare, or Medicaid, or the VA, nothing in this plan will require you or your employer to change the coverage or the doctor you have. Let me repeat this. Nothing in our plan requires you to change what you have.
Better say it again.
What this plan will do,
better say it again,
is make the insurance you have work better for you. Under this plan, it will be against the law for insurance companies to deny you coverage because of a pre-existing condition.
Now, here's Obama describing this health insurance exchange, a large brokerage house to help people find plans that they can afford.
If you're one of the tens of millions of Americans who don't currently have health insurance, the second part of this plan will finally offer you quality, affordable choices. If you lose your job or you change your job, you'll be able to get coverage. If you strike out on your own and start a small business, you'll be able to get coverage. We'll do this by creating a new insurance exchange, a marketplace where individuals and small businesses will be able to shop for health insurance at competitive prices. Insurance companies will have an incentive to participate in this exchange because it lets them compete for millions of new customers. As one big group, these customers will have greater leverage to bargain with the insurance companies for better prices and quality coverage. This is how large companies and government employees get affordable insurance. It's how everyone in this Congress gets affordable insurance. And it's time to give every American the same opportunity that we give ourselves.
Now, here he explains, actually, the rationale. What is the rationale behind requiring every citizen to have some form of health insurance?
There may be those, especially the young and the healthy, who still want to take the risk and go without coverage. There may still be companies that refuse to do right by their workers by giving them coverage. The problem is such irresponsible behavior costs all the rest of us money. If there are affordable options and people still don't sign up for health insurance, it means we pay for these people's expensive emergency room visits. If some businesses don't provide workers health care, it forces the rest of us to pick up the tab when their workers get sick, and gives those businesses an unfair advantage over their competitors. And unless everybody does their part, many of the insurance reforms we seek, especially requiring insurance companies to cover pre-existing conditions, just can't be achieved. And that's why under my plan, individuals will be required to carry basic health insurance, just as most states require you to carry auto insurance.
He uses the auto insurance analogy there, and it's one that people can relate to in terms of the liability. We have auto insurance, folks, so that it doesn't cost everybody an arm and a leg when some jackass who doesn't have insurance runs over a bunch of people or crashes his car into a busload of nuns or whatever the hell the problem is, because it's going to wind up costing the rest of us, right? Well, the same thing is true with health insurance. All right, we're going to continue to talk about this. You guys know where I stand on this. And I stand on this not because I'm a liberal or a Democrat or a Republican or a conservative. I stood with George Bush during the Iraq War. I'm proud to have done that. I do it again. And I stand with Obama on this health care plan. We'll talk about it. 877-876-PHIL. Coming right back.
Phil Hendry.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, and I played most of the essentials from Obama's speech tonight. We've got a couple of clips that we will play for you a little bit later on in this half hour. One of them, I believe, is talking about the public option and why it's, I think he's talking about why it's affordable. But Obama, I thought in the speech, did a good job of talking about the public option from the standpoint of exactly how big of a government-administered health plan this public option would be. He said, and I think this is a direct quote, 5% of people currently not insured would need this plan. 5%. The thinking being that this public health exchange would cover most people who are currently uninsured. And why would they get insured? Because it would become mandatory. By law, you must carry health insurance. As he said, the same way most states require you to now carry automobile insurance. All right, so we'll play those, and we'll talk some more about it. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and you heard what I said. I believe that this is the proper thing to do so that the country can position itself for the coming century of intense competition from emerging economies around the world. We need every dime. And spending the kind of money, which is somewhere in the neighborhood of 1/6 to 1/5 of our GDP on health insurance and on health cost, I should say, just ain't the way to do it. 877-876-PHIL. Here's Kevin in Naples, Florida. Kevin, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's on your mind tonight?
I don't agree with his health care plan for a couple of different reasons. Number one, I work hard, and I have no problem paying taxes. I have no problem helping people out who need the help when it comes to the insurance. But I know too many people that are on welfare that just sit back, don't...
Who is that? Who are those people? You know people on welfare?
Oh, yeah. I know quite a few people on welfare. They just have no desire to work because they get their money. They can sit back and do nothing. And they now they'll get the health care. The same thing that I
Well, now they're probably getting some kind of Medicare or Medicaid aid, would you say? Are they on that program as well?
Some of them do. Some of them have never.
Yeah. Well, they're going to take that money from Medicare, and they're going to put it into this plan instead. So they're going to begin to transfer a lot of that money over from the old system that some of your friends or people that you know well, you say, that some of them are benefiting from, and move it over into this national plan.
At the beginning.
Now, as you probably know, Kevin, you don't have to pay for the whole thing right off the bat. You pay for what you need to pay for as you are implementing this.
That
at the beginning, this will be.
Even the
see, you haven't looked into this, have you? You know people on welfare, and that's just all you want to say, right?
I've looked into myself quite a bit.
Really, have you? So you have quite a bit. Okay. So you know they're not going to be paying a one lump $900 billion sum all at once. You know that.
I do know that.
You do know that. You know that the taxes on a guy like you who makes under, how much money do you make a year?
Actually, I'm a small business owner, so I'm going to get royally screwed.
Yeah, how much do you make a year?
My business or me?
You. How much do you make a year? Do you have a corporation?
Yes, I do.
Oh, so you're sitting pretty, aren't you? How much in salary do you take?
I made $80,000 last year, and every one of my employees made about
$40,000. So you're not going to be in this higher tax bracket, okay?
Probably. They're trying to line it up.
Yeah. So let's talk about you and the complaints that you have about higher taxes. So far, we know that much of these costs are going to be covered by transitioning some of this money out of the old health structure that we've got. There will be higher taxes on people over $350,000 a year, but we're not even talking about that right off the gate. What they want to do is see how much money they can use from Medicare, Medicaid, et cetera, to begin to pay for this. And you're at the low end anyway, so you're not going to have your taxes go up.
Actually, yes, I might.
So what's the complaint here? Do you insure your employees? Do you insure your employees?
Yes.
Do you insure? Well, now you won't have to.
No, I will not take them off the plans they're on. Put them on a government plan.
Well, you don't have to do that. But the fact is, they have to have health insurance. Okay.
It's also illegal, in my opinion.
All right. What do you mean that's illegal? If they pass a law that tells, see, Kevin, you don't really understand anything, do you? You're kind of reading the Constitution, and this is illegal. It's not illegal to require someone to have health insurance. We require. Do you have car insurance? Do you have auto insurance? Do you have auto insurance? Do you have auto insurance?
Car insurance and.
All right. I had to have, I explained at the beginning of the show that I had to have fire insurance for my home. California offers a fair plan to insure everybody against fire. All right. In other words, what I'm trying to say to you, Kevin, is there is a precedent for this with protecting property, protecting an automobile, making sure that there's liability coverage. And when it comes to health insurance, it's the same thing. Otherwise, you're forcing me, if somebody doesn't have insurance, you're forcing me to pay for that person. That's not fair. No, I'm explaining something to you that you have no concept of. I'm explaining something to you you have no concept of. You have no concept of it. No, you've got nothing to explain to me, man. You've told me what you think. It's not illegal if the government passes a law requiring health insurance. Otherwise, you are illegally, in my opinion, passing on a health cost because you're an insurance company to me and not even asking my opinion. Do you think that's legal?
Once you hear why,
do you think
it's illegal to make someone have health insurance?
You're gonna go ahead, Kevin. I gotta hear this. Go ahead.
Okay.
Why is it illegal?
You want to bring up? Well, they have car insurance. A car has insurance on they're driving on public
roads. I can't even understand a word you're saying because you haven't been able to afford a good cell phone from your business. All right, what about fire insurance? Your cell phone sucks. What about fire insurance? Oh, get out of here, man. You know something? If you guys want to start doing some dance on whether it's legal or illegal or constitutional or unconstitutional, this is right in the wheelhouse of what is wrong with this debate. We've got a lot of pea brains out there that think they know the law in terms of reading what is constitutional, in terms of the United States government passing a law that requires, in terms of interstate, we understand that, yes, commerce, but you see, again, I will go back to what I said. You can make it state by state, you can make it national, whatever you want to do. The fact is, there is precedent for this. We have laws requiring all kinds of insurance. Why? That's the rub. Why? Why? Because it costs the rest of us too much money when some jackass isn't insured. We're getting stuck. You talk about taxation without representation. In the name of everything holy, that's the ultimate in taxation without representation. When I got to pay more for my health insurance or my car insurance or my fire insurance or my whatever insurance because some guy just decided he doesn't want to have insurance and the cost gets passed along to me. That isn't Congress doing that to me. That's not the president doing that to me. That's a company, a corporation doing that to me. And they're not asking me my opinion. They're not saying, Phil, do you mind if we increase your health insurance this year or you'll have to accrue because of your fire insurance or anything else? Nobody's asking my opinion, and that's wrong. So now they're saying, let's at least stop this from happening where people are just seeing their costs for their insurance going through the roof and nobody's asking their opinion at all about it. Health insurance companies, fire insurance companies, whatever you want to, just pass it along. Just jack the rates. We got to do something about this because this guy's paying his premiums. This guy is doing what he should be doing, and he's still getting stuck for a bill that isn't his. Now, why in the name of God in heaven would otherwise reasonable and intelligent people sign on to something like that? And when you walk up to them and say, we got an idea here, we make sure everybody has insurance so everybody carries their own weight, why would somebody be opposed to that? And argue things like it's illegal. It's illegal if it's unconstitutional. Otherwise, you can pass any law you want. You can't pass a law that's unconstitutional. That I grant you. But beyond that, if it's constitutional, you can pass any damn law you want. Here is Rick in Louisville, Kentucky. Rick, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I listened to his speech, and I consider myself an educated man and everything, and I do the numbers. I don't understand how this is actually going to bring down health care costs to the individuals, because when I heard it and what he said, it, I mean, I understand it's great that everybody's insured. I got a neighbor that went to the hospital for 3 days and had a $1,000 hospital bill just for the room alone. I thought that's outrageous, and he hadn't got insurance, so this would be great for him, but the cost actually.
No, it's great for you too, man. It's great for you and me too, because that guy doesn't have insurance, your neighbor.
Yeah, but he paid for it out of his own pocket.
Oh, okay. All right, well, he paid for it out of his own pocket. If he didn't have any money. No, I hear you. I hear you. But if he didn't have any money. Yeah, okay.
All right, but here's my point on this one. If the doctor bills itself and the hospital bills don't come down and the insurance company are paying out more money, to me that just seems like the cost of the premiums, you know, are going to go up, because the insurance companies ain't out to lose money in this.
No, you're absolutely right.
If he makes some.
Yeah, but you heard the president's speech and you heard him talk about something called a health care exchange. Did you hear about that? I'm sure you did. Okay.
That I'm interested, interested in.
I beg your pardon?
I said that I'm interested in. That one right there, because
that is a large brokerage. That's like going to the auto insurance comparison is good from this standpoint. You know how everybody's got to have auto insurance, and you go over to Charlie's Auto Insurance. Now, what do you think that guy does? He doesn't have auto insurance in the drawer. He makes phone calls. He makes phone calls to all these different places. What can you afford, Rick? What can you afford, Phil? What do you need? You got to be legal, right? Yeah, I want to be legal. I want to make sure I got liability. Okay, boom, boom, boom. Here's a guy that's got a plan. Bing, 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 bing. Here's another guy with a plan. Bing, 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 bing. Now, when you put 30 million people into that system, when you put 30 million people who want health insurance, now they're legally required to get health insurance, you got a hell of a lot of companies jockeying for position. And these are small companies. These are relatively inexpensive plans. Now you got the big companies going, there's 30 million new customers on the boards. We got to start doing something to get interest from these people. We got to start sculpting some plans that will make us competitive. So you're putting a whole lot of other companies in play, because there's 40 million people that got to have this insurance, and now there's a whole bunch of insurance companies out there that are going to do some business. And meanwhile, the bigger companies are also going to be looking at this and saying, well, now we may have to adjust how we do business so we can get some of this cheese.
Oh, I agree with you there, but then you also got 30 more million people that are going to the doctor probably more regularly, which those costs goes up, and the insurance company's got to pass it on the other way. I think the only thing I did.
Insurance companies are when you say passing it on, you got a hell of a lot more insurance companies involved in passing it on than you did in the past, because you got a lot more people competing, asking for those services.
Yeah, I understand. I understand that point.
I mean, why don't you apply your thinking to just any other business, man? I don't see why this is so hard to understand. If you apply it to any other business, any other business in America operates the same way. All right?
Okay,
it just so happens.
The cost of what I'm talking about. Can I give you an example?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
When fuel got almost to $5 a gallon, the shipping company subsidized our fuel for us, about 80% of the increase in cost, over $1.50 per gallon. So we were making our extra money, but to the consumer, though, that was buying the goods, they weren't getting it subsidized. Not only were they paying more of the gas to go to the grocery store, but when they got there, the groceries were higher, because you got to pass those costs on. I didn't see anything that brought the actual doctor bill itself down. In other words, the health care cost for the individual person doesn't seem like, in other words, when you get that doctor bill that, you know, they cover 80% and you got that 20% or whatever, it didn't seem, nothing I heard him say today brings that 20%.
Well, number one, I don't know how much your deductible is going to be. I don't know how much your deductible is going to be, because they're going to start to limit how much deductible you're going to be responsible for. That's number one. Number two, the doctor spends as much money or charges as much money. You got a health care plan that says to you, we're going to cover you, Rick, you're solid. Don't worry about that, okay? Now, what you're saying is that guy, that insurance company is going to have to pass that along to somebody else. If they've got a whole lot of customers and they got a lot of incoming business, and we're, again, remember what I'm saying, 30 million more customers, okay? Uh-huh. They got a lot more people coming to them for business. There's a whole lot more operating capital. So you're talking about, we're not saying that prices are never going to go up. What we're saying is that the prices are going to rise commensurate with something that makes sense, not something that is skyrocketing to the point where it's adding to the deficit, where it now is around 1/6 to 1/5 of the GDP, where it's out of proportion to everything else. Prices go up.
Yeah.
We know this. You know this. It always happens, man. But what we're trying to do is make sure that these prices don't go up so radically that it is eating up a huge portion of our economy, man. And that money we can spend on looking for those energy resources you're talking about, that money we can spend on infrastructure, all of the things that make living in America fantastic, new ballparks, I don't care, whatever it is you want to talk about, but we've got to free that capital up, man, because we've got a century we're looking at here with a whole lot of really, you know, competitive. I gotta get going. I appreciate it. Very good questions and very good comments. I appreciate it, Rick. I got to take a break. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We'll get to it. We'll answer the questions. We'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. That guy had a business related question, I think, that made sense. He's saying, well, how come the when I get my gas subsidized, the company's going to pass that along? Absolutely, the company's going to pass it along. But how many trucking companies, how many truck drivers, as opposed to how many insurance companies, and how many people who need health insurance? It's all numbers, baby, huh? It's all numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is where we don't play these games. You know, I'm a liberal, I'm a conservative, you know, from sea to shining sea. You can take that and park that, Jack. All we want is some answers, you know. We care about the country. This is the home of free-thinking people and like that, right?
Yeah, that's what I think.
All right. Now, what I got here, don't breathe on me, will you, bud? Just back off.
I want to make some comments.
You've been making comments. Just back off. What I got here is the whole Obama speech. You want to read it? You want to see what the man said? You don't have to listen necessarily. You don't have to see the replay. The speech is online everywhere. Read it. And he deals with everything. Now, does he deal specifically as to dollars and cents and decimal points and carrying the three and all that? You don't do that when you're addressing a joint a session of Congress. You don't do that when you make a speech. What you do, what you hopefully do, is you outline things in an understandable form so people at least have a basic grasp of what's going on, because the horse dung that's been flying about this, I mean, we haven't seen this since baby reached into his diaper and, you know, and decorated the wall for the first time. Anyway, here, let's go over here to Joe in Phoenix. Joe, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's on your mind, Joe?
Hello, sir. How you doing? Hey,
I'm good.
Thank you. I had a comment in reference to the auto insurance analogy in this sense. It just seems so inaccurate to me, because as I sit back and think, obviously I'm in Arizona, and we have liability insurance. And in the essence of it, yeah, the state requires you to insure other people and other people's vehicles if they get in an accident. But if you can't afford that insurance, the simple answer is you don't drive. I mean, it's just obviously that simple. Well, if you're alive in America...
Yeah, but that's not simple. Well, that's not simple. You don't drive. You don't have to live either, do you?
Well, sir, I'll be honest. I'm not as versed with the language as you are. I'm not as quick as you are, but I do have a point. In the sense that one thing the state doesn't require is for other Americans to foot the bill for the people that can't drive. If you can't afford insurance, you simply...
We're already doing it. See, this is, we're already doing it.
No,
Joe.
We're insuring.
We're already doing it.
Most of the people that are taking the risk of breaking the law. Yes, sir. But there is not a program that exists to say, oh, you can't afford private auto insurance. We'll pay for it publicly. That does not exist.
No, that doesn't exist. But what does exist, and you're right. You're absolutely right. However, where it is a good analogy is we do know that law requires that there be insurance. And why is that?
It's true. It's to help the safety of others. And then another thing I didn't tell you.
Wrong. No, it isn't to help the safety of others. It's okay, to make sure that you, Joe, and Phil Hendry, we don't pay for it. You understand? You're talking about
we don't pay
basic fairness here. I don't want to have to pay for another guy who doesn't have insurance getting into an accident. I shouldn't have to pay. You shouldn't have to pay. He should pay.
Sir, one of the inaccuracies that's going on here is the fact that people don't get help if they're uninsured. And another thing I didn't tell your screeners, I've had two prior professions, one I'm presently doing.
Okay, well, I'm out of time. I appreciate your call, though, Joe. I wish I had more time. Good points. We'll continue. 877-876-PHIL. More on Obama to Congress and a health fang on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.